Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into a special Caps Face-Off podcast. I'm Rob Carlin with Tariq El-Bashir. We're going to have Brian Compton, who covers the New York Islanders for NHL.com, as they begin life after John Tavares. That's coming up in just a few minutes, and good to get a little intel from around the league during the quiet months here of July. But Tariq, we're kind of right in the middle of the Cups trip around the world right now. We saw the pictures and the videos, and to me, my favorite moment was when Ovi handed the cup to his dad.
That was awesome.
And then his dad gave him a hug and a kiss.
Yeah.
And I tweeted out, you could be a world-class athlete, maybe arguably one of the greats that ever played the game. You could be a multimillionaire, and you could be world famous. But when your dad gives you a hug and a kiss and says, I'm proud of you, that still means a lot. And that was awesome.
It does. And, you know, Alex's dad, anyone who's covered or been around this team for a long time knows that his dad was omnipresent in the first few years. I mean, there are a few dads that were able to walk through a locker room whenever they wanted to and no one batted an eyelash. But Mikhail Ovechkin could just walk through the Capitals locker room whenever he wanted to. Robert Griffin III's dad was around the locker room.
That was a pain. Ovi's dad was okay.
You better be the first overall draft pick. Right. So, I mean, his dad just meant so much in
and
his
live
life.
Up to it.
Yes, it meant so much to his life. And so it was great to see that moment. I mean, to me, though, Rob, my favorite thing that I've seen so far is how the Capitals and Ovechkin specifically have celebrated with the cup with the people.
Ugh.
They did it in D.C. He did it in D.C., and now he's doing it in Moscow. I mean, he was carrying it around Red Square. I mean,
right, for the World Cup celebration.
For the World Cup celebration. It was awesome to see the people of his homeland, you know, his fellow Moscovites and Russians.
Is that what it's at? Moscovites?
I might have made that up.
I think they made that up.
Yeah. You know, walking around, and they're, you know, trying to get their hand on the cup or, you know, giving Alex a high five or a pat on the shoulder because it means a lot to them. They have their own professional hockey league over there.
Right.
And still.
But they wanted that guy to do this.
Yes. And the lure of that trophy. Everyone knows that when you win that trophy, you are the best of the best for that year. And they were happy to see a fellow countryman do it. And I thought it was cool that he celebrated with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Dmitry Orlov, too.
Yep. Yeah.
Those guys aren't from Moscow. They had to fly in for that. And it was really cool to see the three of them kind of get together because, let's be honest, this Capitals team during the Ovi era is going to be linked with a lot of great Russians have come through this town and played for this team with Alex.
So we're recording this at Wednesday, July 11th at 12:30. Michael Kempney, which another great thing was Ovi saying goodbye to the cup and said, you know, Kemp, it's coming to you. Kissed the cup, said travel safe, and said, see you next year,
which
I thought was a great line by Ovi.
Cool.
But Kempney gets it. He puts it in the front seat of his convertible
Mustang
and puts the seatbelt on.
That was a convertible 5.0 Mustang.
Yeah, that's
beautiful car.
It was a beautiful car. But I love the fact safety first. He put the seatbelt on, and now as we're again recording this, who's got it now?
Jake Virana.
Oh, Jacob Virana, right.
A sober Jake Virana.
For the time being.
For the pictures that I've seen so far.
Again, 12:31 our time on Wednesday, July 11th.
It's really awesome. It's really awesome to see it go around. I got to imagine it's headed to Sweden probably next before it comes back across the pond and gets all the North American guys. But it's really cool to see everyone, including the assistant trainers, are even getting their day with the cup, which is just so important, so awesome, because everyone pulled on the rope to get that job done.
Well, Woody, who lives in Annapolis, which is where I live now, I mean, literally, I can't go anywhere without someone talking about how they saw the cup somewhere in Annapolis, because Woody just shared it with the entire peninsula.
That's great.
So he did it right. It's just been awesome. All right, Brian Compton coming up from the NHL.com covers the New York Islanders. They lose John Tavares is the big story. They've still got plenty of talent, plenty of weapons. They've got Barry Trotz now. They've got Lou Lamoriello now. Give me your bird's eye view. Look, I grew up as an Islanders fan. I thought it was, you know, crushing the way it played out. The waiting was the hardest part, waiting for John Tavares to make up his mind. But it's pro sports. You just got to move on and make the best of it now. The bird's eye view for you of where the Islanders are right now.
Well, let me go back a couple of decades. One of my first jobs.
My pleasure. Let's go back to the early 80s.
One of my first jobs in this business was covering the New York Islanders for the New York Times. So they will always have a special place in my heart. I always want to see them do well. They were also the team that was kicking everyone's butt when I was a kid. And I first started kind of came of age in terms of watching sports on television. They were a dominant team. So they will always have a little place in Tarek's heart. That said, I just felt like the John Tavares situation was bungled. And I feel like there were so many missteps over the years under Garth Snow. Let's be honest, there have been missteps on and off the ice for the Islanders for a long time. But I just feel like they should have done more. They should have done more.
Okay,
and if they didn't think that he was going to sign, they needed to move him at some point over the previous year and get something for him.
It's worse when you put it on top of the fact that they let Franz Nielsen go for nothing and they let Kyle Okposo go for nothing. And so the really the heart, soul, and talent of the one playoff win they've had. And
they signed Rick DiPietro for 145 years.
Yeah, that's a whole other.
There's just been a lot of missteps, and I think that was the coup d'etat. I mean, that was the big one. That was the guy couldn't let get away.
The only flip side to that is they were still in playoff contention. They had a shot to make the playoffs.
Yes.
Around the trade deadline.
They did.
And if you give up John Tavares, that's out.
Waving the white flag.
And it's a tough thing. It's like what the Nats are going to do with Bryce Harper right now. I mean, that team can win a World Series. Do you trade him? Because if you trade him, you're probably trading your chance of winning a World Series this year.
Not the way he's playing right now.
Well, but he's still Bryce Harper.
I know what you're saying.
You know, so it's a tough deal, but the way it played out certainly doesn't look good. All right. Let's get to the interview now. Get a little intel on the New York Islanders with Brian Compton of NHL.com. So, Brian, I guess obviously the first question is about John Tavares. And look, I understand. I saw the videos of Islanders fans burning his jersey. I get it. You're a fan. You could do whatever you want. This one hurts. But when I saw him tweet the picture of him sleeping under Maple Leafs blankets and pillows, I just couldn't fault the guy for wanting to go back home. What was your immediate thought when finally we got the answer that he was leaving the island and going back home to play for the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's tough. If you're an Islander fan and you finally have a guy to lead you what you hope would be the promised land, and then he bolts on you, I think the worst part from the Islanders' perspective and their fans, guys, is John was saying all year long how he hoped it worked out, how he wanted to stay, which is why Garth Snow didn't trade him, and then John said he didn't want to be traded, and then for this to happen, the Islanders lose one of the best players in the league for nothing, so it's tough. From John's perspective, and he's right, he told us this on the conference call that he did with the New York media after he signed, was he did everything he possibly could. He invested himself every single day. If you guys remember when the Islanders won the lottery before they even drafted John, you know, people were writing, why on earth would John Tavares ever play for the Islanders? And John came out right away and said, if I'm fortunate enough to be the number one pick and they take me, you know, I'm going to go there and wear that crest proudly and work hard every day. And that's exactly what he did. And they just never surrounded him with the pieces that were necessary to build a Stanley Cup contender. And, you know, 9 years later, he had that chance to go home and play for his hometown team. And you really can't blame him for taking advantage of that opportunity. It's just the way he presented himself this past year that makes it kind of look a little bit bad.
Brian, how much of this is on Garth Snow and not sitting down with him in the weeks or days leading up to the deadline and say, hey look, John, look me in the eye. What are we going to do here? Are you staying long term? Are we gonna work something out here, or do I need to get something for you? It seems to me that uncomfortable conversation has to happen. If Tavares lied to you and said, hey, you know, I'm leaning towards staying, that's one thing. But if you didn't have that uncomfortable conversation or get some sort of commitment, how much of this is on management?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Tark. Did Garth think about wanting to trade John and was told not to by Scott Malkin? I mean, okay. Scott Malkin was the guy who had been talking to Papasan for a year here, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't blame the Islanders for not trading John, because you guys both know. I mean, you've both been around this. You covered this team years ago. a lot of things never went right for these guys, and John Tavares was one of the few things that did. So if he's telling everybody that he doesn't want to leave and he wants to be a part of this long term, mm-hmm. why on earth would you trade him? When it gets to the deadline, I get it. If John came out and said, look, I don't know what I want to do, and he's hesitant about staying, well, then, yeah, you have to explore options via trade to get something back for him. But if the face of your franchise is telling you day in and day out, at least through the media, that he wants to stay and he hopes it works out, that's why he was never traded.
Look, I'm not a Garth Snow fan. I didn't get along with him personally when I worked for MSG Network. I don't think he was a good, GM for the franchise. I think there were a lot of missed opportunities, but I think his hands were tied on this one because, Lou Lamoriello comes in to replace him anyway, but almost no matter what, you're the guy who traded John Tavares because you're not going to get back enough that it's going to be, that you're going to look back on and say that was a winning trade for both sides. I mean, he's a true superstar and you have to hope that whatever amount of draft picks works out so far down the road that it becomes worth it. I guess the only thing that for Islanders fans to think about to me, Brian, is when he was drafted, they were an embarrassment. They were arguably, and certainly in the discussion, but arguably the worst franchise in sports. He made them relevant again. From the night the opening night game at the Coliseum that I was there for, when he scored the game-winning goal in overtime, to them winning a series against Florida, to even now where they're consistently a 90-point team that's in the playoff hunt, he at least put them back on the map as a true hockey team and with some sort of future after 2+ decades of being an utter embarrassment. And for that, I wrote this on Twitter. I just said, thank you. Thank you for putting he went back to his hometown team. Thank you for putting my hometown team back into relevancy.
Yeah, and, there's so much blame to go around here, guys. I mean, when John first came on the scene, Charles Wong was trying to get the Lighthouse Project, and then it was rejected, and then the referendum in 2011 was rejected. So Charles Wong didn't put any money into the team. So John Tavares is playing with guys like P.A. Parenteau and Brad Boys and Andy Hilbert and John Cimatami. Like, there was just so many, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely, man.
And that's what I'm saying earlier about how they never surrounded him with the proper pieces, so... Yeah. The first 3 or 4 years of John's career, he was playing with fringe NHL players on the first line. So, this past season, I think, was even the bigger tragedy because they had so many weapons. Anders Lee scored 40 goals. Josh Bailey had 70 points. Matt Barzal wins the Calder Trophy, and they just couldn't keep the puck out of their net. So, had Scott Malkin and John Ledecky, when they first became co-owners 2 years ago, made the changes that they made this past month or 2 months ago with Lou and Barry Trotz, those kind of guys, had they replaced Garth and Jack Capuano and Doug Waite with the guys that they've replaced him with now, who knows if we're having this conversation right now? Maybe John Tavares signs last July.
Yeah, it certainly does seem like there were some missed opportunities there in the past couple of years. I'll tell you this, in Barry Trotz, I know you haven't dealt with him a whole lot yet. You're getting a coach that's going to bring some stability, some accountability, and some defensive zone coverage and structure to that team. The question is, in my mind, do you have the goaltending to keep the puck out of your net? I mean, Robin Lehner's, I think, a good start, but I don't know. I mean...
Well, how close are these prospects that, to me, are 2 or 3 years away?
Bad teams don't let go of goalies if they think they can help.
And I was telling guys, I did obviously a bunch of radio spots before John signed with Toronto, and they kept asking, the Islanders don't have any defense. And I tried to make the point, like, Nick Leddy is not going to be minus 42 with Barry Trotz as coach next year. Like, there's just logic tells you that, right? And,
mm-hmm.
The other point I tried to make was, Ryan Pollock had a monster second half. He's going to be a really good defenseman in this league for a long time. Losing Calvin DeHaan is a blow for sure. They brought back Thomas Hickey, which is nice, but they need another top four defenseman, and just getting back to Lehner, this is kind of a last opportunity to be a number one goaltender in this league, so you got to think he's going to at least try to make the most of it. And you guys would know better than me. I mean, if Mitch Korn is coming along here, that would be a huge get for the Islanders, no question.
He's certainly the goaltender whisperer.
Yeah,
I mean, he did wonders for Braden Holtby's game.
But Braden Holtby's pretty good to begin with.
And but Felix Grubauer and, going back to Nashville with Pekka Rinne and Carter Hutton, like Mitch Korn, I mean, he would be a huge get for Robin Lehner and the Islanders, I think, if they can get him.
I'm not going to say I'd be surprised if he makes the move to the island, but I'd be surprised if Korn was able to commit the type of time. I mean, part of the reason he took a step back in Washington last year was because he you know, he's getting older. He just wanted to do other things and have a little more time in his life.
But I'm with you. If he comes, that's a home run for the Islanders.
It's big. And you know, that's one thing that I think fans don't really pay enough attention to. You know, we all know who the starters are. We know who the head coach is. Those behind-the-scenes guys, those goaltending coaches and the D coach and the special teams, those guys make such a huge huge difference at the NHL level.
And that's where it starts, fellas, in the front office. I mean, you have a three-time Stanley Cup GM in Lou Lamoriello, and he went out and hired the best coach available 2 weeks after he won the Stanley Cup. So there's going to continue to be, if Mark Hunter is coming, which could be as early as, you know, later this week, I think he's available July 15th, and they brought in Steve Pellegrini as assistant GM. Like, they brought in legitimate front office people instead of guys who Gard Snow wanted yes men. Gard Snow always had to be the smartest man in the room. Whereas now you have a guy like Lou Lamoriello running the show, and he's going to surround himself with the best people available, which is huge.
Yeah, and Garth would hire dumber people, so that way he was the smartest.
I mean, look, it's nothing against Eric Cairns, but Eric Cairns has been director of player development for years, and there's just, who do you point to as far as guys who came up through the system? Not a Matt Barzal, who basically went from junior and made the jump to the pros.
I covered Eric Cairns, by the way.
Yeah, so you know, but what I'm saying is, like, how many guys have come through Bridgeport for a year or two and made a jump and showed that they have been developed properly? I mean, going back to a guy like Nino Niederreiter. I mean, it just, they never properly developed younger players. And Ryan Pulock might be the first one in ages, for sure, you know?
Look, I think that the core group of Islanders, I mean, that's a decent team. There's some pretty good talent there. I mean, there are some warts and some holes, but I got to be honest, as I've watched what Lou has done here over the past few weeks, I've kind of scratched my head on a few of these signings. You know, Komarov and
Komarov, I don't mind the 4 years.
It's the years.
Ross Johnston, I've never heard of Ross Johnston.
Well, he was there last year.
Okay, was he? All right.
Yeah, he was. He played. Well, here's Ross Johnston. Why are you signing Ross Johnston for 4 years? If you look at the lines right now, fellas, if they don't make any more changes, you just brought back Matt Martin, who's here for 2 seasons minimum. So where is Ross Johnston going to play? And if you don't even know where he's going to play, why are you signing him for a four-year contract?
Right, and those are some of the question marks you have right now for what Lou Lamoriello has done. Now, granted, he's trying to do something after the worst possible thing that could have happened, which is John Tavares. So give us an idea now of where the Islanders are. I mean, we knew with Tavares, they were a good team, they were a flawed team, they were in the hunt, but never, you know, really became a consistent playoff team. Where are the Islanders with Matt Barzal now as the face of your franchise, with a lot of high-powered offense but questions on defense? What sort of this year and into the next 2 or 3 years under Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz?
Yeah, I think Trotz is the biggest get here, guys. I mean, because you have to think that the goals against are going to go down. Like, they're going to be better defensively. Like I was saying earlier, they could certainly use another defenseman. And losing John Tavares is catastrophic. It's an enormous, enormous loss, but they should still be able to score some goals. Matt Barzal is a terrific player. Andrews Lee scored 40 goals. Now, he was doing that with John, but I still think Andrews Lee can be a 25-goal scorer even without John Tavares. What is Brock Nelson going to be under a guy like Barry Trotz? I mean, Brock Nelson was a guy who was scoring 20 goals without Barry. Can Barry bring out the best in Brock every night? Nelson's a guy who had disappeared at times. If he brings more consistency, you know, they still have guys who can plug in that. And what does Barry do for a guy like Josh Hosang? Does Josh Hosang now make the jump, right? So they have young players here. It's just a matter of them, you know, developing further. And then the bottom six, which was awful last year. I mean, Andrew Ladd was terrible. I think Andrew would be the first guy to tell you that. Cal Clutterbuck didn't score a goal after January 13th, so they've got to get more out of their bottom six. So I think if Barry Trotz brings out the best in these guys, are they a playoff team for sure? I'm not going to say that, but I don't think they're going to be out of it by Thanksgiving either.
So tell me, what's the deal with Josh Hosang? I've seen him play in, a preseason game or two, maybe even a regular. Like, the dude has so much talent.
Yep.
Alan May has just said he's a knucklehead from day one. He's like, the kid's going to bug you because he's a total knucklehead.
How do you just not fix that somehow?
You know, it's funny. I mean, Josh's biggest problem was he doesn't know when to stop talking. and he was here for development camp right after the draft, and Lou wouldn't even let him talk. Like, he was not allowed to talk to us the entire week.
Welcome to the new regime.
No facial hair, no talking.
So the conversations have already begun with Josh Rosang and Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello. So look, if they can keep his mouth under wraps, like you were saying, Tarek, the skill is off the charts, right? So if anybody can bring the best out of this kid, it's these two guys, you have to think, right?
All right, last question for you, and then we'll let you go on this July afternoon. I appreciate you taking time out to talk a little hockey. What did you think as a hockey guy watching the way the Caps won the Stanley Cup, which was so different than the Caps teams of the past, and then maybe more so their post-celebration, because that was, as I keep saying, as epic, if not more epic, than what they did in actually winning the Cup.
You know, I'm just happy for Ovi, because the guy took so much crap from media that he was never going to win anything, and he didn't care, and, you know, the way that Barry just took him under his wing, and the way that they won it together, you know, beating a team like the Penguins, who they said, everybody said that they would never beat, and they were in their heads and everything else, and then as far as the partying goes, I loved it, fellas. I mean, look, Ovi had been through so much for so long. He had a great time, you know, whether it was diving in the pond or that one shot of him in Nationals Park when he's in the left field bleachers. I mean, it was great. I mean, good.
His shoulders and arms are going to be in outstanding shape.
Nothing else will, but his shoulders and his arms will.
And you know, if they get off to like an 0-4 start, like the hangover stuff's going to start, right?
So
Figuratively and literally. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully they get off to a decent start. But, you know, good for those guys. There's a lot of good guys in that room. Holpe's a great guy. I've talked to him plenty of times, whether it's the Winter Classic or anything else in the All-Star game. So a lot of good people in that room. They waited long. Lord knows the fans waited long enough. So good for the Caps. Great stuff.
Brian Compton, NHL.com. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thanks
for having
me. Take care.
All right, that was Brian Compton again of NHL.com, covers the Islanders. I think his biggest takeaway, more than the Calder winning Matt Barzal, more than the talent, some good young players, including on defense, he believes that Lou Lamoriello and more specifically Barry Trotz are going to get the Islanders righted and in the right direction more than maybe even any player that they have.
Look, under Doug Weight, I felt like their strategy last year was to win game 6-5. That's not a winning strategy.
The strategy here.
It did. Caps. And where did it get Bruce Boudreau fired? I mean, it doesn't, it can get you some points in the regular, but in the big picture, you have to eventually become a defensive team to get to where you want to be in this league right now. And I'll be honest, look, I think Barry Trotz is going to bring exactly what this team was lacking last year. It's too bad he didn't get the opportunity to do it with Tavares in the lineup. He's going to bring accountability. He's going to bring defensive structure and detail and teaching and all those small things it takes to be a successful player in this league. And when I look at the way the lineup is right now, it's not terrible. You know, I mean, is Robin Lehner going to stop any pucks? I don't know.
He's an upgrade, I think.
Yeah, he probably is an upgrade, but look, he's
not good, but an upgrade.
He's coming from a really bad team where he didn't help them a whole lot. So, you know, we'll see what he's able to do. I mean, Anders Lee, Matthew Barzal, and Jordan Eberle, that's a pretty good, decent first line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Andrew Ladd, Brock Nelson, Josh Bailey, not a bad second line. It drops off from there with some question marks from there. I mean, Cizikas and Clutterbuck, when they're playing well.
With Matt
Martin back.
That was the best fourth line in hockey.
That's a pretty good fourth line
right.
That really is going to get under Tom Wilson's skin.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to see Tom Wilson lose his, you know what? Whenever they play the Islanders and those three guys are on the ice,
right.
Tom Wilson's going to lose his, you know what, like, multiple times per game.
That'll be fun.
It'll be great. I mean, the back end isn't terrible. Nick Leddy's a heck of a player.
Right.
Johnny Boychuk, you know, he has been good. Hickey, Pollock, I mean, these are decent players.
Right. They just had a good draft. I think the future is still bright, but it's been that way for a while.
It has been.
To show some progress on the ice, and you're hoping, as an Islanders fan, Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz get them there.
And you're hoping, as a Capitals fan, that they continue to struggle.
Right,
lose their way.
Down the road.
And it happens years from now, right?
All right, so we're going to do this again. We're going to talk Tampa Bay Lightning, who just keep signing people to big contracts and are apparently still in the Erik Karlsson hunt.
Do they have a different salary cap than everyone else?
Apparently
like,
so.
I got to do some math. I got to bust the calculator out. I feel like they're like over the cap right now.
We're going to have Erik Erlandson.
Yes. He's covered the team pretty much since their inception.
Right, so we're going to do that. Again, get some behind intel, behind enemy lines on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up. Any other guests that you've reached out to so far?
Yeah, we're going to have Greg Wyshynski. He's going to join us next week.
Okay.
But yeah, we're going to continue reaching out and bringing in different voices throughout the summer to help us get through these doldrums.
The dog days.
We're not even at the dog days yet, but they're fast approaching.
All right, so that's it for this edition of the Caps Face-Off podcast. Of course, if you could like and subscribe and write a review, it all helps get the word out of the Caps Face-Off podcast. So thanks so much for tuning in. For Tariq El-Bashir, I'm Rob Carlin. We'll see you next time.
See you guys.